I think we tried to do to introduce labor and management issues, but I don't know how we I don't re recall how we did it. But we were right away we had photographed, by right away I mean by 77, 78, we had pretty good prints of the Hanford glass plate negative collection. So those, somewhere they would have been, the youngsters I think would have been marched by. Not like a museum exhibition, but some of those images were there. I can't remember. I think we tried to do forest history, but what we did, I don't know. I know we did a wonderful poster thanks to Mr. Kernan. What the hell was his first name? I don't remember. And he's still alive, although not in good shape. We did a beautiful, a couple of forest history posters. And basically, he gave us the contents of that, and then we use what we learned from him.
How has the museum's history changed, or museum's mission changed over time?
I think it didn't change until recently, and in some ways it still hasn't changed. I mean, the mission is to preserve that collection and that history, and that, shall we say, narrative of steam and water power, doing small scale machinery, running small scale machinery, doing small commercial lot stuff. And adding the new issue of energy and sustainability. Well, energy was always there, but sustainability, I think, is new. And I like it. I must say, when I hear the phrase, "We run an authentic," or "We run an authentic water and steam power," well, so there isn't as much emphasis on the artifactual quality, and maybe not. I don't know, because I haven't gone on a tour in a while, and maybe on the business history, or the business of a mill being at the center of a community and being related to to agriculture, related to other livings made. And I'm sure they don't neglect it, but it's not. So I'm interested in where they're going, and that's the only change. But it doesn't, the mission isn't changed again. I don't see any less. Fortunately, they got most of the archive collection organized. Physical objects always need care. I'm sure they have good maintenance programs for that. I'm also sure they have to, like anywhere else, you have to choose what you're going to do this year because you don't have enough money to do everything. So I would say they're a remarkably focused. So that would have been now 40 years, a little more than 40 years. I'm very proud of them and their stewardship. It's nice to go down. Like a couple of years ago, I went. A friend that I'd maintained over this 40-year period, who had been one of the students, he's now a traffic control engineer or something in the greater Washington, D.C. area. Anyway, he visited me with his two sons, and we went there, and this would have been within the last 4 years, could be 5 years. I think we were both very proud of how the place looked and how it was being interpreted and preserved. So it's nice to see that, effort, and to see a good people there engaged in.
How would you say the museum fits into the community?
You know, I think there was an era, there was an era when the museum was our museum. That is, people had that sense of possession and pride. We have a museum. We have this historical resource. We have this educational resource. I don't know if that's as strong anymore. Part of that would be, one, I might not be connected enough to the greater community. I'm very focused on my studio life, and I... But that's, my sense is that imperative ought to be energized or re-energized, of making the museum the community's possession. We own this, we're proud of this. Like I go to a barber shop, and yet, nowadays a barber shop is an endangered resource. And so it's fantastic what is said. Not that you want to hear everything that's said there, or can agree with it, but I feel like there's a little negativity about the museum, and that's I don't think that's the museum's fault. It's the museum's fault if they don't address it and think about it. But it feel, you know, people like to bitch and moan. And it felt to me maybe, but that was also true when I was there. The guys up at the garage, at Peterson's garage, would be, what the hell are they doing down there? But you have to, you have to engage that, even if it's a negative force. Like I remember learning that in the conversation there, this was an era, that was 5 years where a lot was happening, suddenly kind of exploded, and so. In that conversation in Peterson's garage, I was referred to as the mayor of East Meredith. Partly because we had so many people working there and we were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I would... and your question has reminded me to be more alert to how the community is... should we say, cherishing the place, and to see if the new thrust of sustainability is, what impact that is having. And I think they ought to find out, too. But I can, as an old alum, can be a little more tuned in.
So what did you do after leaving the museum field?
I went back to my studio on exactly 20 years. I went to work at Hanford Mills on April 15th, 1975. And I left my job at Ornette Community Mansion House on June 1st, 1995. And I had been working my way back into my studio. That appointment as director at Oneida Community Mansion House, where other, I mean, the industrial history was only, there were no artifacts, it was just, what do you call it, history, not artifactual history. I had worked 4 days a week, and I'd had a studio for those other days, whether I was always there or not, I'm not sure. But so I went back to work full-time in the studio in 1995, and I thought that in 5 years I might be a force. Well, it's now going on 20, and I'm beginning to have get some recognition as a workshop leader for mostly plein air, but I can do it in the studio painting, and as a landscape painter who goes very deeply into his subject and has skills to do description, but goes beyond that to. So it's been great. When I look back, my God, I've had, let's call it 20, because we're going 2014. I've had 20 years in my studio. And fortunately, my health is good. And I'm very excited about what I'm doing. And this year has been a terrific year for sales because I went... I said, because I love to make jokes about myself, I said I was going to have my memorial exhibition. So I went and did it in with a catalog, and did it in a Fable restaurant, which is very beautiful architecture. Do you know the interior of that place? Anyway, it's what I call postmodern Frank Lloyd Wright. It's steel, concrete, stone, glass, and laminated wood timbers. And my work looked great there. And so I had a what you would call a smart cocktail party and sold the work. And since then, I've sold quite a bit of work. So it pays to have a memorial exhibition now and then. And also I got, for myself, it was good for me to assist. I called it 50 Years, 10 Studios, and it gave me an historical perspective on what I had been doing and the work. And I invite you to the website. It's, if you go to richardkathman.com, and then the news page will have that digital catalog of the 10 studios. So it's so nice for me just to be engaged in the life of thinking about this planet that we're on. Like my motto is not the thing, but it appears at my website on the first page and appears in some exhibitions. The Earth is not outside of us. And that's a statement from a philosopher, an aesthetician, and he was a religion. He was a priest too. So to be engaged in thinking about the crust of this planet and what to do with it. I mean, I only do what I do with it. I'm concerned what others do, what they do with it. But so it's a real privilege.
How would you describe your artistic style?
Right now, I would say I'm treading a nice line, or by nice, I think there's lots of energy there, where I do description, but I'm looking for some energy that's beneath that surface. And part of that is what we learn to call abstraction, those forces of abstract art that are beneath it. And then part of it is also the spirituality of just being engaged in the landscape. And I have a few teachers there's a fantastic man by the name of Belden Lane, and about every decade he does a new text on landscape and spirituality. He himself is a PhD in religion. I mean, religion is such a wide field. What he says about not only the landscape and whatever, but how he summarizes what everybody else is saying. So you get the literature list for the last 10 years of what people are writing. So he's an important force in my assessing what it is that I do. So in a way, you ask me, I guess I'm still a student. And I'm still looking. And it feels exactly right to do that. And it feels great to do things that I think are beautiful. Not everything I do is beautiful, but I'll say a very prominent British sculptor who's a dear friend of mine for decades recently said about me, Richard's a good painter. Sometimes he's a very good painter. And sometimes he didn't say when he gets it right, he's an exceptional painter who gets the mystery of what's behind the landscape. So that's how I operate. Sometimes I really get it, and sometimes it's just good.
Do you paint in this area mostly?
Yes, mostly by virtue of living here. And I paint mostly in this forest right here. And I'm always looking out these windows and thinking. So some of my compositions come from my yard. And some of that lithograph over there is from up in the woods about 1,000 feet away. So I'm really content doing what I call painting the seasons here. And really looking and feeling. I was privileged to know how many, almost two decades, a very famous poet by the name of Haydn Carruth, or to me he was very famous, and he described me as being very accurate in my feeling in response to what I was seeing and encountering. We generally think of people, are they being accurate in their observations? Well, I'm concerned about being accurate in feeling. So it's that's where the content is in the feeling. And I think I'm much of the time there. And then it has that feeling, is something that it can be shared by viewers of the work. I know, did I? Yeah. Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, either about Hanford Mills or about what you're doing now?
No, but I'll close. This isn't adding anything, but I like to do it. Like I like to make fun of myself. Like I said, I'm presenting my memorial exhibition because I want to make sure it's done right. So I'll do it myself. I referred to that time at Hanford Mills, and then at I was at three places: Hanford Mills, Canterbury Shaker Village, and Oneida Community Mansion House. I referred to it as my 20-year mistake, and it was a very rich time, and it was a mistake only that I wasn't in my studio, and it was a mistake when I am seduced is not the right word, but calculating about money and power. That is not a, that's a necessary thing to do, but it needs to be done in a very balanced way. And it's very easy, I think, to lose one's balance at that. That 20-year mistake was, you know, full of rich people and rich learning, and it was only a mistake in that parts of my being were I permitted to go in directions where they it wasn't the best thing for me to be concerned with the acquisition in a very rudimentary way, in a very small way of the acquisition of money and power. So this, it's great to be back in the studio to be concerned about another kind of a... And when I went back to the studio, I took a vow of poverty, because that was... I better love it, because that's what it was going to be. So...
Good. Well, that concludes our interview. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. You have been great on these two occasions that we've talked at length. I appreciate your skills and how you go about your job.
Thanks.